Keshon Rabbo Sethe's daf is Yuma Daf Yud, and it is again in the Discourse of Fush Lema for Nami Meira Bash Hashem of Karezel and Shir Laz Dvora Leah. We are here at the bottom of Tes Amud Beis. Basically, that this we've been discussing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Reish Lakish had said that the reason that the Shekhinah didn't come to the second Beis HaMikdash is because most of the Golos in Bavel did not come to Eretz Yisrael. And so we are at Amar Leh. What's it called? I guess, Ki Aser, the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, two lines up on the bottom on Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Ki Aser, the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, when Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Leh, Rabbi Yochanan said back to him, Lav Hainu Taima. That wasn't the reason. That wasn't the reason the Shekhinah didn't dwell in Beis Sheni, because even if all of the Jews had come back in the days of Ezra, lo hayashchar Shekhinah b'Mikdash Sheni, still Kosh Baruch Hu would not have dwelled in the Beis Hamikdash in Beis Sheni. The Chetiv says, "Yaptel kum liyafas v'yishkan ol leshem," and as a pasuk in Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis, anyway, right? It's in Noach, right? When Noach gives a bracha and curses Cham, so he gives a bracha to Yefes and Shem. So that's the pasuk. And the Gemara learns Afagav the Yafte Lukim the Yefes, even though Akash Bracha gave Yofi, gave beauty to Yefes. So still, in a Shechina Shore Ela Behal Shem, right? The Shechina Akash Bracha is only going to be in the tents of Shem, right? That's right. Obviously, the Jews are descendants of Shem. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go through a bunch of nations. Once we mentioned Yefes and Shem, and we're going to go through all these nations and just explain what they were. Right, obviously these names are not so familiar or relevant to us because the nations have been long gone. But okay, let's see how. Parsoi minalan miyefes kaasu. How do we know that the Persians, again, who allowed the Jews to rebuild the Beis Sheni? Right, how do we know that the Persians are from Yefes? Right, we said that Akash Baruch was not going to dwell in Yefes. Right, so how do you know that the Persians, who built Beis Sheni pretty much, are from Yefes? Because the pasuk says, "Bnei Yefes, Gomer, Magog, Madavi, Avon, Vesuval, Meshach, Vesiras." The Gemara goes through all of them. Gomer is Germania, right? Is Germany. Magog, Zukandia. Okay. Again, I'm not sure where all these places are. For what it's worth, the Sforim that translate the Gemara, they are scrolled and sifted. They just basically transliterate it. So, okay. So, Madai, Kemashmao should be the Girsa. That Madai is Madai, right? Medea. Right? Yavan, Zu, Macedonia. Is Macedonia, or Yavan Kemashmo, depending on the Girsa, right? Either Yavan, Greece is like it is. Tuval is at base Unaiki, Tuval is base Unaiki. Meshach is Musia, Meshach is Musia. Tiras, and what about Tiras? And this is the important point, right? Pligi bar Rabbi Simoi v'Rabbanan. Machlokas. Amri la Rabbi Simon v'Rabbanan. Either Rabbi Simoi or Rabbi Simon. Right? Chad Amarzu base Triki. One of them says it's base Triki, but here's the kicker. Chad Amarzu Paras. That is Persia, and that's how you know that Persia is from Yefes. Tanya Rav Yosef, Tiras is Paras, and sure enough, Rav Yosef agrees that Tiras is Persia, and that is exactly what we're talking about, that Akash Baruch Hu won't dwell in the Beis HaMikdash, that Persia allowed to be rebuilt. Some of the sons of Cush were called Savta, Virama, Vesavtacha. Now, a lot of names over there in the generations. Tanya Rav Yosef taught Sakistan, Gavaisa, the Sakistan Brisa. So those are two different parts of Sakistan, as you might call it, transliterate. Ben Chad al-Chad al-Meah Parsi, and between each one of them had 100 Parsa. Ve Kefa Alpha Parsi, and the circumference was 1,000 Parsa. Okay, fine. Vatiri Shizma Machto Bavel Ve'erech Ve'alkad Ve'kalneh. That's talking about Nimrod. So Bavel Kimashma, what are those areas? So Bavel is Bavel. Erech zu Orichus, that's okay. So Orichus Bakad ze Bashkar, and Kalne ze Nofer Ninfi. Okay, that's what those places were. Minar Tzayet zu Ashur, from that land Ashur came. Tanya Rav Yosef, Ashur ze Silak, Ashur is Silak. Even as Ninveh, Vishrochavos, Yves, Kalach, Ninveh is Kamashmo, Ninveh is Ninveh, right? The capital of Assyria, not Syria, but Assyria, right? The Assyrians. Rechavos, Yer, Zu, Pras, Demeshon, okay, that was called Pras, Demeshon. Kalach, Zu, Pras, the Borsif, okay? Fine. There's resin with bein ninve bein kolachi ayir hagdola. Resin ze aktesvon. Okay. What here ayir hagdola? That's the great city. And you know that in ninve ayir hagdola, in resin ayir hagdola. Right. It says again. It says resin between ninve and kolach. That's the big city. So what is the big city? Which one? So kishomer when the pasuk says v'ninve ha'isa ayir hagdola lelukim malach. Right, it's a pasuk in Yonah. So have a omer ninve he ha'ir hagadolas. Right, so, okay. So apparently that's referring to Ninve. All right. This is already a pasuk when Kalev came to Hebron. There were these three great giants: Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The children of the giants. So Tana would learn that Raisa, all their names meant something. That Achiman, Miyuman Sheba Achim, he was the strongest of all of his brothers. Sheshai, what's that? Shemasim Esaretz. Kishchisos, because he leaves the ground destroyed right when he walks. And Talmai, what was he called? That Shemesim is it's Talamim Talamim, because he makes ditches in the earth. I guess when he drags his feet or whatever. Davar Acher, another interpretation. Achiman bana Anas, that Achiman built a city of Anas. Sheshai bana Alush, and Talmai bana Talbush. That's how their names relate to those things. Yilidei ha'anakra, the children of the giants, shema nikin hachama bekomosan, because they make the sun like a necklace with their height. Meaning, now obviously they didn't stretch to the sun, but it means that if you would look up at them, it would seem like the sun, that they were wearing the sun as a necklace. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar Rabbi, atida romi shetipo biad paras. Rome eventually will fall to Persia. Shemar, the pasuk says, and there's a long pasuk over here. The key point is that we'll see at the end. L'chein shimu atzaz Hashem asher ya'atz el edo machshavosa v'shechashav el yoshvei teman im lo yischavun tzirei atzon im lo yassim aleihem nevehem. At the end, again, it says that the tzirei atzon, that the young of the sheep, will be destroyed. Were dragged away, and Moscow. So that apparently you see that the Greeks are going to take out the Persians, or all the way around. The Persians are going to take out the Romans. Sorry, and we're going to see there's another interpretation that's the reverse. But okay, that the Persians will take out the Romans. Moscow. La Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba really said, "What are you talking about? My mashma the heights irate someone parasu. How did you know that Persians referred to the young ones of the sheep? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says." Right, meaning that you see this isle that refers to Paras, refers to Persia. Well, what about Ve'imad Yavan? Well, if that's the logic, why didn't you say that it refers to Greece? Right, right? You see the goat is the king of Greece, right? That's also a similar reference. The Gemara says, sorry. When came to Eretz Yisrael, so Amar Kamed Rehuma Rabbanan, he said to the Rabbanan, this point, and Amalei, he said to him, Man Delo Yoda Prushe Kroy Mosi of Tiyuf Del Rebbe, someone who doesn't understand the Pesukim is going to bring a cash on Rebbe. What are you talking about? My Tzirei Yatzon, what is Tzirei Yatzon, the youngest of the sheep? That's Zutra Da Achui, that's the youngest of the brothers, meaning the youngest of all the sons of Yefes. The Tanya of Yosef, Tira Zeparas, it's again the youngest of the Tzon, meaning the youngest son of Yefes, that's referring to Persia. So therefore Persia is gonna take out the Romans. Amar Rava Barbar Khan Amra Biochana Mishum Rabbi Yudabar Iba Eloi. I see the Romi should tipo biad paras. The Rome is going to fall to Persia as well. Kal v'chomer, not from a pasuk, but from logic. Ma mikdash rishon shebina b'nei shem v'chorivu kazdiim. Again, the first base of mikdash was built by Jews and destroyed by the kazdiim, right? The Chaldeans, literally translated the Chaldeans, but the Babylonians, right? From Babel. So nafu kazdiim biad parsiim, and the Persians conquered them, right? So mikdash sheni. What about the second base of mikdash shebina parsiim that the Persians themselves built? The Chariva Romayim and the Romans destroyed, and then she put Romayim beyond Persian. Certainly, the Persians should conquer the Romans as well. So Rav said, I see the paras shetito beyond Romi. Rav says, no, Eich and Ami, that's good logic, but still, Rome, the other way around, Rome is going to conquer Persia. Relay Rav Kana Ravasi, the Rav, Rav Kana Ravasi, the Rav, Benoi beyond Saturi. You can tell me that the people who build the Beis HaMikdash are going to fall victim to the people who destroy the Beis HaMikdash? So I'm like, and he said, yeah, Zeres Hamelachi, right? It's just Kosh Baruch Hu decided. Iginami, some people say, Amar Lahu, Inhu Nami Kasashri Bekinishta. So Rav, some people said, no, not that it's just the Xeris Hamelachos, but the Rav explained that, no, the Persians also destroyed Bekinishtas, Bezakinesis. I mean, let's be serious, the Persians aren't all good here in this situation, so Lamaisa, they're going to get their punishment because they destroyed a lot of Bezakinesis. Sorry, Baruch HaTavad Melech Melech Olam Shakol Nevara. Tanya Mihachi also learned the Raisa. I see the Persians tipo biad Romi. The Persians will fall to the Romans. Chada, first of all, the Sasri beKnishta because they destroyed Beis Hamikdashes, shuls. They destroyed Beis Knesses. The Odin also Xerav Melechi. Right, it's Xerav of the king. Of course, Baruch Hashem, Lebon and Biad Sosrim. That the people who built the Beis Hamikdash will fall into the hands of the people who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Dam Rav Yudah Marav, because Rav Yudah Marav said, Ain Ben David Ba, Mashiach is not going to come. Ashatibshot Malchus Romi Harisha B'cha'olam Kulo Tishachadashim. Until Rome has conquered the world for 9 months, Shneimar Zepasuk says, Lachain Yitznim Ad Eis Yolida, Yolada V'yeser Echav V'shehun Al B'nei Yisrael. Meaning, again, 9 months is, again, where do you get that from? From Yoleda, from a woman giving birth. So they need to control the world for 9 months, and then only Mashiach will come then. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan will enter a Braisa. Now, okay, the two dots. Now we're going to move on to a different topic completely. We're going to talk about the mezuzah in the Parhedrin, in the Lishkas of Parhedrin. Did it need a mezuzah? Did it not need a mezuzah? You have a bunch of halacha lemaisa issues and sugyas over here. Obviously, we are not going to do them but it's good to keep aware that we do learn some halachos of mezuzah from this gemara. Tanur Rabbanan will enter a braisa. Kol halishkos shehayu b'mikdash lo hayu lahen mezuzah chutz melishkas haparedrin. The only room, the only chamber in the Beis HaMikdash that had a mezuzah was the Lishkas HaParhedrin. Shehayu b'beis dira l'kohen gadol, because after all, the Kohen Gadol was going to live there for 7 days. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "No, the fellow Kamal Lishkos Hayu b'Mikdash." Right, there were a bunch of chambers and rooms in the Beis Hamikdash, Shaila and Beis Dira, that where people lived. Fellow Hayel had mezuzah, but they didn't have a mezuzah. So, hello, Lishkos Parhedrin Gzeira. I said, "Rather, no. It's just a Din Rabbanan." As we'll see at the end of today's daf, because they didn't want people to think that the Kohen Gadol was living in a jail, which does not need a mezuzah. But right, locked away in a jail for 7 days. It was nice, so they put up a mezuzah to show that was like that was his rental home, his vacation rental. Right, so my time was Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that says that the on midoraisa level, the Parhedrin did not need a mezuzah, meaning and only the rabbanon. So Rabbi says, because Rabbi Yehuda called by Sheino Osir Limosachav and Limosachav Shomim Eino Bayis. If you have a house that's not used in the winter and the summer, so that's not considered a proper house. It has to be a home, meaning a home, as Rashi explains, needs to be a home all year, right? If you have a mezuzah, you need a choshev mezuzah, needs to get a significance, and the significance is that it has to be used and usable all year. Esvei Abayi said, Ksiv Pazuk says, V'kei si bayis b'choref el bayis ha'kaitz, when Kosh Baruch will unfortunately strike from punishment to the goyim, to the rishayim, right? Both the summer house and the winter house. So, meaning apparently you see that it's called a house, even though it's only for one of the seasons. So, I said to them, no, beis chorif for beis kayetz ikri. Yeah, it's called a summer house for a winter house, but beis stamalo ikri, it's not called a stama, it's not called a house by itself, and therefore it does not require a mezuzah. Ezra, Abai asked, one second. Sukkah is a chag bechag. In terms of, well, let's take a step back here. The Mishnah here, it's a Mishnah? Yeah, it's a Mishnah of Maestros. It says that you're only chayav to take trims and maestros from produce that you gathered if it's roa pnei avayis, if it's come into the house. So the question is, on sukkah, on sukkahs, what about the sukkah? Is that considered a house? To make all the produce you bring in there chayav and trims and maestros? So sukkah is a chag b'chag, what about the sukkah? Does that count? So Rabbi Yehuda mechayev v'chachamim pochim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayev to trumas and maestros, and the chachamim say you're potter. V'tani Allah, we explained. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev v'erev mezuzah v'meiser. Rabbi Yehuda is chayev, says you're chayev, meaning the sukkah is a house, and therefore it's chayev in an eruv. That takes us back to Masechas Erevin. If you look at Rashi over here, Be'eruv in Psucha LaChatzer, or if it opens up into a Chatzer, Sheish Bashar Diros, that has other houses, so that's considered to be one of the houses in the Chatzer, and therefore Oseres Al Kulam in Lo Irva Imahim. If the owner of the Sukkah did not participate in the Eruv, if you remember from Masechas Erevin, if the owner of the Sukkah did not participate in the Eruv, so then the Eruv is no good, because not everybody in the Chatzer participated. Meaning it's considered to be a legitimate house that goes into the Chatzer. So that's the Eruv. It needs to have a mezuzah, and it's chayv in meiser, right, if you bring produce, any type of produce into the Sukkah. So you see that, again, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is a house. Right? So the Gemara says, v'chitem midrabanan, if you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda says it's only a house midrabanan, so bishlam Eruv mezuzah digal me midrabanan. So you can say by an Eruv, by mezuzah, right, you can say you can have a chiyuv derabanan. That makes sense. Ala meiser mikal me midrabanan, but you tell me you're going to say something is chayiv and meiser midrabanan, that creates a problem. That creates a tremendous problem, because dilma asur lefushe min a chiyuv al ptur, because you're not allowed to take truma or meiser from produce that's not chayiv in it to be motzi other produce. So let's say you have a barrel of wheat and a barrel of barley, and the barrel of wheat is chayiv trumas and meisers, and the barrel of barley is not. So you're not able to take trumas and meisers from the barley to potter the wheat. So what's going to happen over here? You have meiser that is chayiv midrabanan now, because we're making a chumra that if you bring it into the sukkah, it's chayiv midrabanan. So now you have produce that's chayiv midrabanan. You have other produce that you brought into your actual house, which is chayiv midaraisa. You have two types of produce that are, let's say, two barrels of produce that are chayiv trumas and meisers, but you don't realize that one is chayiv midaraisa and one is chayiv midrabanan. If you take from the derabanan grain, let's say, for example, for to be motzi the daraisa grain, so that's taking grain that was technically potter from trumas and meisers and being motzi grain that's chayiv in trumas and meisers, and that doesn't work. And that means that now the grain that you had that was chayiv in trumas and meisers midaraisa is tevel, right? And now you can't eat it, and that's a big problem. So there's no reason the Chazal would say it's derabanan. So you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda must hold that adiras arai, that I mean, he holds it, the sukkah is the adiras kava, but meaning that if you're only using it for a couple of days, that's still considered to be a legitimate house. So what's going on over here? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that the parhedron needs a mezuzah midaraisa? Right? Why does he say it's only derabanan? So that's so Elo Amar Abai. So Abai says no. It must be b'shiva dekuli amalo pligi de mechayva. That everybody agrees that when the kohen is living there for those 7 days, then he needs a mezuzah midaraisa. I mean, everybody agrees, right? He's living there. He's mamash living there. He's chayv mezuzah midaraisa. Ki pligi de machlokes only is b'shari mas hashana the rest of the year. The Rabbanan say we put up a mezuzah because, right, you may get confused, right, for the 7 days that he's living there, right? If you don't have a mezuzah the rest of the year, right, you might forget to put up a mezuzah. So that's the Rabbanan shita, therefore we leave a mezuzah up there the entire year. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no need for that. Right, again, when you prepare the beds and the linens, so you'll put up a mezuzah. We're not, there's no need to do that, just to make sure they'll have a mezuzah for that week. Okay. Now,
So according to Abaye, everybody agrees that the parhedron needs a mezuzah midaraisa when the kohen gadol is living there. So obviously, that's if he's living there for only 7 days. So that's what we said before, that a house that you're only living in for a few days is not considered a house, so that's not true. Meaning that Mestama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Tanakama say that since the Kohen Gadol lives there for 7 days, it's considered a legitimate house because it's chayiv in a mezuzah midaraisa. So Rava said, well, v'hasukas chag b'chagatani. One second. But what about, again, the Chachamim in the Mishnah, right, argued on Rabbi Yehuda and said a sukkah does not need a mezuzah. Well, if you're telling me that the Tanakama, i.e. the Rabbanan, say that the Parhedra needed a mezuzah midaraisa, right, because the Kohen Gadol lived there for 7 days, so why don't they also say that a sukkah is chayiv in a mezuzah midaraisa? Are you telling me that they don't? The Mishnah said that they don't need that. The Chachamim and Tanakama does not require a mezuzah for a sukkah. So Allah Amaravas Rava therefore says no. B'shari Mos Hashanah Kuli Amal Pligi De Ptura. That everybody agrees that the rest of the year, when the Kohen Gadol is not living there, the Parhedron does not need a mezuzah. Ki Pligi Machlokas is B'shiva, when the Kohen Gadol is living there. All 7 days, like we said,
And there's a reason for both. The reason is the distinction between the Parhedrin and the Sukkah is because of the following. Sukkah time alechur, the reason for a Sukkah, reason that there's a machlokas by Sukkah, and because Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. Right? It's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, to amar Sukkah diras keva be'inan. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Sukkah needs to be a diras keva, has to be permanent. Right? If you remember, the first mission of Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Sukkah can be more than 20 hours tall. Right, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that it can be chayv, that it can be keva, u'mechayve b'mezuzah, and therefore it's chayve in a mezuzah. For Rabbanan l'tamayo, and the Rabbanan's Shita is that the Amishukah diras arai b'inan, that sukkah needs to be, not only can be, but it needs to be arai, v'lo mechayve b'mezuzah, and therefore since it's only a temporary house, right, it does not require a mezuzah. But v'lishka time l'chod, but the Parhedrin is a completely different halacha. Right, Rabbanan salvei dira b'alkor cheshma dira, the Chachamim say that when you're quarantined in a house, that's still considered to be a house, even though you, I guess technically you don't want to be there. I got a stomach on Gadol, didn't want to be there. But all right, when you're locked in there, that's still considered to be a dira. Rabbi Yisover, no, dira b'alkol chalosh me dira. If you're locked in a house, that's not considered to be a house. That's not your house. That's not a place you want to be. And then mistama, right, and that's, and therefore you don't need a mezuzah. And simply, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mezuzah on the Parhedrin is just din derabanan, shlo yom ru kohen gadol chavush beis asurim. So the people won't say that the kohen gadol is locked in jail, right, and people would think that he's forced in there, right, they wanted to think that, no, it must be a nice house, he must have nice accommodations, not that he's locked in there and quarantined like some sort of criminal. Okay, Shkoyah Kodo Rabosa, we'll invite you on the Hale Geshas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.